Today we take a third step in our understanding of the gospel of God. The first step we took brought us to an understanding of the wickedness of humankind, the utter depravity of men and women, of young people, and of children. The second step took us the step of seeing that salvation can come from God alone. God calls out from the mass of fallen humanity a people for himself. These are his chosen people. In the end, then, we are able to look back and able to say, God, the Lord, has chosen you. These same people whom God chooses for himself out of the mass of fallen humanity are justified in his sight by the work of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11 tells us. My servant will justify many, it says. But it also says, embracing those few words, by his knowledge the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, as he will bear their iniquities. Who does the justifying? The text tells us, my servant. My servant is Jesus Christ. Surely we do not have to prove, do we, that Isaiah 53 speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 4 and following. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Here is the crucifixion. Here is a picture of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who came to die on Calvary's cross. This was the Father's will for him. This was God's plan and God's purpose for him. Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. I came, O Lord, as it is written of me, to do your will, O Lord. This is what the psalmist says. And the writer to the Hebrews picks this up to show that it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ is called my servant. Why? He is called my servant because he comes to do the will of the Father, to come and serve the Father's will. My servant will justify many, the scripture tells us here. Now we ask, what is justification? You young people know what the answer to this question is. It comes to us in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, answer 33. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The Catechism here tells us there are two main points to justification. There is complete pardon from all of our sins. That's the first part. Then secondly, there is a reception of righteousness. We partake of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. These two things bring us back to God. Not just forgiveness. Forgiveness, as important as it is not the only thing that is necessary to bring us back to God. If it was just forgiveness we needed, we would be brought back to the place of Adam in the garden. And then we would have to work out our own salvation, our own place in heaven. We would have to do this by proving our own righteousness. But we cannot do this. Again, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us that the intents of the thoughts of the hearts of men are only evil continually. No, we cannot prove our own righteousness before God. We must be given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we receive forgiveness? How do we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The vehicle of reception is faith. We receive right standing before God by faith alone. We are justified by faith. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith is not a work. In fact, it is just the opposite. Faith is a lack of work. Faith is trust in the work of another. Let me read you a definition of faith given to us by J. Gresham Machen in his book entitled, What is Faith? Listen to this. The reception of that gift is faith. Faith means not doing something, but receiving something. It means not the earning of a reward, but the acceptance of a gift. A man can never be said to obtain a thing for himself if he obtains it by faith. Indeed, to say that he obtains it by faith is only another way of saying that he does not obtain it for himself, but permits another to obtain it for him. Faith, in other words, is not active, but passive. To say that we are saved by faith is to say that we do not save ourselves, but are saved only by the one in whom our faith is reposed. The faith of man presupposes the sovereign grace of God. Yes, my friends, faith is the vehicle of reception, but it is not a work. In fact, it is a lack of work. I say again, it is trust in the work of another. But look again at Isaiah 53 and verse 11. How does the text tell us that Christ justifies many? By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, as he will bear their iniquities. The text tells us that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He was and is absolutely pure, absolutely holy, absolutely righteous. And it is by the imputation of righteousness, by the imputation of Christ's righteousness, that we are justified. We are wholly unrighteous. God looked at the wickedness of man and he saw that the intents of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. We have no standing before God. We are not righteous. Isaiah emphasizes this fact in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Let me read that again. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. No, when we stand before God, we are unclean, and we are wearing filthy garments. But to come to God, we need clean hands and a pure heart. And how in the world are we going to obtain clean hands and a pure heart? Our deeds, the deeds that we have carried out with our hands, are supremely unclean. How in the world are we going to obtain clean hands? There is literally blood on our hands. And our hearts. Our hearts are impure, defiled. The thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. What must take place? On one side, the righteousness of Jesus Christ must be given to us. It is the only adequate righteousness. It is the only righteousness which can be presented to God the Father. And this righteousness, Christ's righteousness, is placed upon us. It is given to us. It is placed to our account. But the text also says, the end of verse 11, he will bear their iniquities. There is a double transfer. There is double imputation, if you will. As we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our sins are transferred to Him. Verse 12 tells us this. Yet He Himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Verse 11 again, as He will bear their iniquities. Our sins are transferred to Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Our sins were placed upon Him. And our sins were punished in Jesus Christ. The sins of people like you and me. I'd like you to see how the New Testament puts this in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. Literally, this text may be translated, and He Himself bore our sins in His body up to or to the cross. This means that He, as He walked in this world, our Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself the sins of people like you and me, and He bore those sins up to the cross where He took upon Himself the punishment, the full punishment due for those sins. This is why there may be pardon. This is why those who trust in Jesus Christ may have pardon, full and free. How does Jesus Christ justify? He takes upon Himself the sins of others, people like you and me, and He places upon those same people the robes of His righteousness. And this transaction takes place through the vehicle of faith. Now back to our text in Isaiah chapter 53. Whom does this text tell us Christ justifies? Isaiah 53 answers, my servant will justify many. Do you hear that, my friends? My servant will justify many. Many does not mean all. Think about this now. Many does not mean all. We know this is true. And we know that not all people on the face of the earth are justified. In fact, we know that many go to their graves without Jesus Christ. Faith, and faith alone, is the way of participation in the justifying work of Jesus Christ. And without faith in Jesus Christ, without trusting Christ and His sacrifice as the only adequate payment for sin, without trusting the righteous deeds of Jesus Christ as the only righteousness adequate to bring us into heaven, without such trust in Jesus Christ, there is no right standing before God. There is no justification. And many people go to their graves without a trust in Jesus Christ. So we ask the question again. Whom does Christ justify? Well, to help us, I
ask you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 14 and 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 14 and 15. Perhaps we should begin with verse 11 in this reading from Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. One thing has to be said. Those who are cast into the lake of fire, whose names are not written in the book of life, these are individuals who are not justified by Christ. Their sins are not punished in Jesus Christ. Those sins were not placed upon Jesus Christ. He did not bear those sins to the cross and suffer punishment for those sins. Neither did these individuals receive righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This righteousness was not placed upon them. They were judged according to their deeds, and they were found wanting. Their names were not found in the book of life, and they were cast into the lake of fire. In other words, they had to suffer punishment for their own sins. This is the awesome truth of Scripture. And the question might be asked here, is God a God of double jeopardy? Does he pay for sins once in Jesus Christ and then cause others to pay for their sins themselves? No, God is not a God of double jeopardy. Once sins are paid for, they are thoroughly paid for. What is the situation then? The situation is simply this. There are those for whom Christ died. There are those for whom Christ bore the penalty for sin. And there are others who must pay for their own sins. My servant will justify many. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ confirm what we're saying. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What did Jesus Christ come to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. My servant will justify many. Not all, but many. And we must understand here the definition of justification. Let's run through it one more time. Justification is first a full pardon of all our sins. That's one side of it. Secondly, justification involves the reception of perfect righteousness from Jesus Christ, so that on one side, sin is purged, we are cleansed. On the other side, we are given the free gift of Christ's righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he does not see unclean hands and an impure heart. He sees a heart which has been cleansed from sin and hands which are pure. Not with our own works, but with the works of Jesus Christ. My servant will justify many. We've already said that many receive full pardon and the gift of righteousness through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Jesus says in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It is these many who are truly justified in the sight of God. But you may contradict me by bringing up texts which talk about all being ransomed, all being justified. It seems that that might be the case, but let's look at a couple of these texts. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 6. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. Yes, there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And this text says, he gave himself as a ransom for all. Is this text contradicting what we have already looked at? Are all those on the face of the earth justified before Jesus Christ, before God? Are they justified, I should say, by Jesus Christ before God? No. We have already seen that Jesus Christ in his work pays for the sins of people, so they may receive full pardon, and he gives to them righteousness. The vehicle of reception is faith in Jesus Christ. Not all have faith in Jesus Christ. Some go to their graves without faith in Jesus Christ. And so the matter of fact is that not all are justified in the sight of God. What does this text then mean? Who gave himself as a ransom for all? It cannot contradict what we have already said. It cannot contradict what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that he gave himself a ransom for many. It cannot contradict what we have seen. Isaiah says, my servant will justify many. What is the all here then? The all is simply this. Representatives from all of the people on the face of the earth. In the book of Revelation, we see among the multitude saved by Jesus Christ are representatives from every tribe and tongue and people and nation on the face of the earth. All families of the earth are represented. And I believe that this is what Paul is talking about here in 1 Timothy. Let's look at another text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. And as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. Yes, verse 22 says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Does this mean that every human being on the face of the earth is justified? No, that's not what this means. Look at verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. It is only those who belong to Jesus Christ who are justified. Who then are those many whom Christ justifies? Christ justifies the elect. Remember the mass of fallen humanity that we talked about from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5? And remember we talked about the fact that in his mercy God chooses people to receive mercy. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 tells us this. You are a chosen people for God. This means that Christ justifies people whom God calls out from the mass of fallen humanity. And my friends, they are many. Back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. Look again at this text. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, as he will bear
their iniquities. The text tells us, by his knowledge, the righteous one will justify many. Yes, it is by a knowledge of Jesus Christ that men and women are justified. This is what the text means. We may translate it like this. By a knowledge of him, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many. You must have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You must understand what he came to do and who he is. And so our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ, that they might know him. We are to call people to trust in Christ and his righteousness. We are to call people to trust in Jesus Christ to receive full pardon from all of their sins. Only then will they be justified in the sight of God. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, as he will bear their iniquities. Are you one of the many for whom Christ died? Are you one of the many whom Jesus Christ has justified? Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you trust the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness? Do you trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you trust that righteousness to bring you to heaven? If so, then you are justified. You are part of the many for whom Christ died. Listen to it again. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, as he will bear their iniquities.